Here's your first question for tonight. You want me to be honest with you? Anybody ever ask you that? Anybody ever ask you that? Why do they ask you that? Because you're not going to like what you hear. So you could be honest or not be honest, right? I think we live in a society that truth is at a premium. And it doesn't appear that many people want to pay the price, right? They seem to pick and choose. You want me to be honest with you? That means I could be honest or I could not be honest. And I'll pick and choose when I'm going to be honest. We often say that honesty is the best policy, right? Then why isn't it a permanent policy? Why isn't it an always policy? If it's the best policy, why do we pick and choose? Pardon? Oh, because you have a choice. There was a study done, I think this was about 10 years ago, and published in a book called The Day America Told the Truth. I don't know what day that was. I missed it, I guess. But The Day America Told the Truth, name of the book. They discovered, in their research apparently, that 91% of people lie routinely about matters that are no consequence. They're trivial things, and so 91% of people, they'll lie about it because it doesn't matter. And the other 9% are Christians. 36% will lie about things that actually are important. A third of the people you meet will lie about something that's actually important. Think that's true?
Yes, I think it's
both. 86% of kids will lie to their parents. I see a lot of parents shaking their heads like crazy. You think that number is about accurate? You think it's low? Oh, it's not low? Okay, well, okay. 95% will lie to their friends, or 75% will lie to their friends, 73% will lie to their siblings, and 69% will lie to their spouses. You think those numbers are real? We've got a real problem with integrity in our country, don't we? Real problem with honesty. Of course, I wonder in this study that they did how many of these people were telling the truth when they answered the question. You know, I mean, how accurate are the results? You know, they could have been lying. I guess that could be the case. But we live in a society that this is Time Magazine from about 1992. You remember who was president in 1992? Kennedy? I thought somebody said Kennedy. The injunction, look at what this says about telling the truth. Have we had any presidents who've had a hard time telling the truth? The injunction against bearing false witness. You ever heard about bearing false witness? That's like on the Ten Commandments, right? The injunction against that was branded in stone and brought down by Moses from the mountaintop. Remember, this is in Time Magazine. Has always provoked what? Ambivalent, conflicting emotions. On the one hand, nearly everyone condemns lying, and yet on the other, nearly everyone lies every day. Time Magazine says, you know, on the one hand, everybody says lying, it's wrong, you shouldn't do it. And yet, what do?
Do it anyway.
They lie. They do it anyway. Are you familiar with this quote from Mark Twain? We know Mark Twain and probably read many of his writings when we were in school. He said, lying is universal. We all do it. Therefore, the wise thing is for us diligently to train ourselves to lie thoughtfully, judiciously, to lie with a good object, not an evil one, to lie for others' advantage, not for our own, to lie healingly, charitably, humanely, don't lie cruelly or hurtfully or maliciously, of course not, to lie gracefully. We need to train ourselves to lie gracefully and graciously, not awkwardly and clumsily. We need to train ourselves to lie firmly and frankly and squarely with our head erect.
That's a politician.
So if we're going to lie, we need to make sure that we do it well and that we do it right. We need to train ourselves, and as some have written, we need to even train our children, apparently, how and when to lie. Scary thoughts. One more quote from Joseph Fletcher in his book, Situation Ethics. This is obviously a few years old, but notice what he says. Here's a question. Is adultery wrong? Suppose we ask that question. He says to ask this question, is adultery wrong, is to ask a mare's nest question. It is a glittering generality, like Oscar Wilde's Mackerel in the Moonlight. It glitters, but it stinks. One can only respond to that question, is adultery wrong, by saying, I don't know, maybe. Give me a case. Describe a real situation. Or perhaps somebody will ask if a man should ever lie to his wife or desert his family or spy on a business rival's design or market plans or fail to report some we wouldn't do that, would we? Fail to report some income item in his tax return. Again, the answer cannot be an answer, he says, to any of these things. It can only be another question. Asking, do you have a real question? That is to say, a concrete situation. If it has to do with premarital sex or libel or breach of contract or anything else, you name it, the reply is always the same. All you're doing is using words, abstractions. What you are asking is without substance. It has no living reality. There's no way to answer such questions. What is he saying? What is he teaching? What's the name of his book? Situation Ethics. So, is adultery wrong? Is lying wrong? What does he say? Well, give me a situation and I'll tell you if it's right or wrong. The Lord said, lie not one to another. Is that a generality? Is that something we need to do? We need to look at the specific situation and allow the situation, according to Joseph Fletcher, to determine what's right and what's wrong. This was Situation Ethics, this book was written about 50 or 60 years ago. So that's old school, right? We're not dealing with that kind of mentality anymore. We're not dealing with people who determine right and wrong based upon situations anymore, are we? Is that gone by the wayside? Do we have any firm, fixed standard by which we determine something's right or something's wrong? We do. Why isn't the world following it? Why isn't the world using it as we would have them to use it? Get your Bibles and look in Acts chapter 5. Here's a story that every one of the classes is looking at tonight. And as we're trying to do during this VBS, is for everybody to look at the same Bible, not only the same Bible lesson, because all of the classes are looking at the idea of honesty tonight, but even to look at the same Bible story, so that if you've got kiddos in the classes and you ask them on the way home, what did you learn about tonight? You'll have a clue what they learned about tonight. But hopefully you can talk about it together with them. Acts chapter 5. What do we read about in Acts chapter 5? Ananias and Sapphira. Before you get to chapter 5, here's what Ananias and Sapphira saw people doing. Back up about four verses into chapter 4. Ananias and Sapphira saw that people who were possessors of lands or houses, that they were selling them, and that they were bringing the proceeds of the things that were sold, and they laid them at the apostles' feet. Ananias and Sapphira saw that this was happening, that they were Christians who were possessors of the land. They sold it. They brought the proceeds. They laid them down at the apostles' feet. They not only saw a mass of people doing it, they saw Barnabas, Joses, who the disciples, the apostles called Barnabas. He had land. What did he do? He sold it. He brought the money, laid it down at the apostles' feet. You see a pattern that the church was following, that they were possessors. He had land. They sold it. He sold it. They brought the proceeds. He brought the proceeds. Laid it down at the apostles' feet. He laid it down at the apostles' feet. That's what Ananias and Sapphira are seeing happening. Why do you think that the people were doing this? Why were the Christians doing this?
It was actually the law.
Okay. Well, here's a group of Christians who, look in verse 32, where it says that they looked at one another with one heart and one soul. And when they saw a brother or sister in Christ in need, did they get the deacon committee in charge of benevolence together and say, you need to figure out a solution to this need? They didn't do that? What'd they do? They saw a need in the church and they did something about it. Isn't that a unique concept? So Ananias and Sapphira are seeing this happening in the church. You get into chapter 5 and we're introduced to Ananias and Sapphira. What did they do? Did they have land? Did they have possessions? They had land, so they followed the same pattern. Verse 1, they had land. They sold it just like the others did. But this says that they kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and they brought a certain part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. Anything wrong with what they had done to that point? From what we're reading in verses 1 and 2, they had something, they sold whatever they had, they kept back part, and they brought the other part to the apostles. Anything wrong with that? Was there any rule that said, when you sell it, you got to bring every last penny and give it to the apostles? No. No. So they see a pattern of the early church and what they were doing. They say, and for some reason, they decided, did they have to even sell anything?
No.
No, they didn't have to do this. This was their decision, their choice. They sold their possessions. They brought part. They kept back part. Everything's fine. But what's Peter's reaction in verse 3? There's something that happens that we're not told what happens, but we see Peter's reaction, so we know what must have happened. How does Peter react in verse 3? Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price for yourself? Wait a minute, when did they lie? Well, we're not told when they lied. Did they lie? Yes, Peter says they did. What was their lie? They presented what they laid at the apostles' feet. They presented it as everything that they had acquired for the sale. Why? Why would they do that? I mean, what is to be gained? That if they made $1 million, all right, and they laid $500,000 at his feet and kept $500,000, what's to be gained by saying, this is all that we got for it?
Praise of men.
Yeah. The praise of men. Satan can cause you to do a lot of things. Satan tempted them to do this in order that they might receive the praise of men. To lie to the Holy Spirit, to keep back part of the price. Peter says, while it remained, while it was yours, was it not your own? And after it was sold, what is it not in your own control? Again, there's the idea. They didn't have to sell it, but they chose to. Once they had what they got for the price, what they sold it for, it was still in their control. They still didn't even have to give the money. Didn't have to give any portion of it, didn't have to give all of it. Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but you've lied to the Holy Spirit. When you look over at what Peter says to Sapphira, when he asks her in verse 8, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Did you sell it for what you're saying that you sold it? And this is all. They conspired together. They agreed together that they were going to lie. But Peter says, you haven't lied to men. You have lied to the Holy Spirit. You've lied unto God. So what did they get for that? They were after the praise of men. That's what they wanted. What'd they get? What kind of gift did they receive? What kind of reward did they get? Oh, they got it immediately, didn't they? I mean, they didn't have to wait around for it. Ananias fell down, breathed his last. Sapphira, when she said, yes, for so much, yeah, that's all we sold it for, she falls down dead. Lying's kind of got a steep price, doesn't it? Is lying one of those sins that if we were to categorize sins? What do we have, by the way, in lies? We've got white lies, right? Do we have black lies? Do we have half-truths? You ever heard of half-truth? Not sure what a half-truth. I don't know if you can round it up or round it down or what the deal is with that. You got a little lie, you got a big lie. We've taken dishonesty, we've taken this, and we've chopped it up into various pieces, and I'm not sure why, other than maybe to soothe our conscience into believing that, you know, if I don't tell a huge fib, then just a little one's okay. How many kids believe that? That if I just twist the truth a little bit, then it won't be so bad. Have we taught our children that? Do you allow your children to believe that, you know, a little twisting of the truth is not as bad as just a full-out lie? Ask you a question, and I want you to help me fill in the answer, just like we did last night. I want you to help me make a list. Why do people lie? Give me some reasons. We've already had one mentioned in relationship to Ananias and Sapphira to receive the praise of men. Why do people lie? Give me some reasons, Eva.
To get out of something.
To get out of something. To protect themselves. Hey, I hadn't thought about that one, Rick. To get votes. That's pretty good. Why do people lie? Notice I put the word people in quotation marks. You know why I chose to do that? Put quotes around it? So that we can talk about people in the third person and not have to make it personal. All right, so we can say, here's why other people lie. And you can give reasons why other people lie. They might be reasons why, you lie. But we'll just talk about people in the third person so that, you know, so that we don't have to take it too personally, right? Why do people lie? Give me some reasons.
To hide something.
To hide something.
Convenient.
Say again.
Convenient.
It's convenient.
To get a raise.
To get a raise out of that person, like to rile them up, or to get a raise, to get extra money.
Yeah.
Say, Cornelius. Because people can't handle the truth. What does that mean? To me, that's a terminology that we say people can't handle the truth. You know, it seems like that should be a good movie line, right? You can't handle the truth. What does that mean? Oh, well, let me add that to the list here. You don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. They can't handle the truth. Jimmy, you know, I was really going to try to avoid. I was really going to try to avoid that one. I'm just going to let that one slide, all right? Thank you for bringing that up, though.
Luann said to avoid conflict.
To avoid conflict. To make themselves look good.
To cover up something.
To cover up something. To make them slabs look good. If you weren't here last night, this thing's about 5 seconds behind my typing, so you see it long before I do, and so you get a good snickle before I get able to go back and fix it. Stephen, did you say something? That's the one you said?
Oh, it was me.
What'd you say, Eva?
To cover up something.
Oh, that's it. All right, to cover up something. You know, I wasn't going to bring those mythical characters up either, but maybe that's something we need to talk about. Why? To get a job? Surely people wouldn't do that. I mean, resumes, you ought to be honest on those, right? Why do people lie? All right. They just lie, right, Jackie? That's what they do. Samantha? To fit in. All right. To receive some kind of a gain, Stephen says. It's a habit. Liars lie, it becomes a habit. So we could come up with, how many we have on this screen? We got 8 on that one, probably had 9 or 10 on the other one. So we come up with a list of at least 20 reasons. It's intriguing to me for us to say that we believe people can't handle the truth, and so we choose to tell them something different than the truth. As if our measure of what they are able to handle somehow gives us a license to do something to go against the will of God. When we talk about reasons why people lie, is there any good reason to lie? Does this dress make me look fat? Jimmy says. Does this dress make me look fat? Is that a good reason to lie? Is there a loophole somewhere in God's, you know, because God also says, we're going to talk about this tomorrow night, God also says that He has called us to peace, right? So if He's called us to peace, and does this dress make me look fat? He's called us to peace. Now, which one am I supposed to do here? Am I supposed to tell the truth, or am I supposed to live in peace? And you know why men don't talk a lot? Because, you know, we've learned, you know, it's better just to bite that tongue off sometimes than to say anything.
The Constitution has given us the Fifth Amendment.
Yes, the Fifth Amendment. Right, Dan?
Why is Jimmy wearing a dress?
Yeah, Jimmy, why are you wearing a dress? That's a good... Oh, it's a kilt. I mean, he has lost a lot of weight, so I would say he probably doesn't look fat in the dress. But, boy, this is really messed up. Jimmy in a dress and a kilt. I got to get back on track here. So we talk about why people lie. And I don't know. I've come up with, I think, probably several of the ones that you have mentioned. To protect themselves. To keep from hurting somebody's feelings. To get out of trouble. To get something they want. Hang on, Eva. To be accepted by somebody. Fear of discovery of the truth. To gain an advantage. To cover up something. To make themselves feel good. Do people lie deliberately sometimes just to hurt somebody? To evoke some kind of sympathy? Well, I just want you to feel bad for me, so I'm going to make something up. You know, it's there's a lot of reasons that people choose. And go back to some of those quotes that we looked at the beginning. Mark Twain said that lying is universal. It's everywhere. Commonly accepted. Everybody's doing it. So if everybody's doing it, does that give me a license? Does that give me kind of an ability, an equality to say, well, you know, I just need to kind of slide right in here to do this? You've mentioned some of these already, and I thought there might be some overlap here. But give me some occasions, and I know there's overlap. Give me some occasions when people might lie. You mentioned this one about getting a job. Eva?
A situation.
Yeah. When or where do people commonly lie?
When they get caught doing something.
When they get caught doing something. Say again? All I heard was police, so I'll put it up there. How about taxes? Is claiming something on your taxes that is a little bit higher than what the actual was? Is that lying? Oh, yeah, you deserve it. You deserve it because they took all your money and the government just takes your money. So you're just getting it back from them because they stole, and that's a bad thing to do too. So I'm just going to get it back because it's mine. What are we doing? Man, we can justify it all around, can't we? You know, there have been some who have looked at what people claim for their charitable giving on their taxes, and they say, you know, the church makes out better on the 1040s than the church actually does in the basket. You know, because people say they give more on the 1040 than they actually put in the basket.
Isn't that the example that you just used, Ananias and Sapphira?
Ananias and Sapphira? Maybe they were after the tax break, you know. Maybe they were trying to have some kind of but yes, exactly.
That's why lawyers are politicians.
Say that again.
That's why lawyers are politicians.
That's why lawyers are politicians. All right, let me get to this. This is what we need to get to. All right, we've given a lot of things here. This is what we've got to look at. What does the Bible say? You know. But if you were to come up with a list of verses about what the Bible says about lying.
Revelation 21:8.
Yeah, there's a song about one of them. We'll get to that one. Look at some of these in the Old Testament. There's the 10th commandment in Exodus 20. Here's Psalm 120 where it says, "Deliver my soul from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue." Proverbs says that lying lips are an abomination. That's not a snowman, all right? That's, how did they define it a few minutes ago? Something really bad? Is that what the kid said? A false witness will not go unpunished. Proverbs 26, a lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it. Here's the one that perhaps we know best in Proverbs. 6 things the Lord hates, yes, 7 are an abomination to him. Proud look. Lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to running to evil, a false witness who speaks. I thought God already had that on the list. Was God getting old and he forgot he had it on the list already and he stuck it on there again? One who sows discord among brethren. Come to the New Testament. Therefore, putting away lying. Here's the one that Pearl quoted. Do not lie to one another. Why not? Why should you not lie to your brethren? Because you have put off the old man and you have put on the new man that's renewed it's renewed in knowledge according to the image of Christ. Why don't I lie? Because my Savior never lied. Why don't I lie? Because I've taken off that old man and I have taken the opportunity to put on the new man who is striving to look like Christ. Not look like that old man. The world wants us to look like that. The world has shaped us and molded us to say, you know, a little white lie, a little half-truth isn't going to get you in trouble. In fact, it might help you to advance. It might help you to get a raise. It might help you to get a job. It might help you to get money back on your taxes. It might help you. It might help you. It might help you. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? Gains it all. He's manipulated and he's twisted and he's turned. He hadn't told the gigantic lie. He's just told a little few here and there. And he gains all of this but loses his own soul. The Bible makes it very plain. And I know that you know that the Bible makes it very plain what our responsibility is in speaking the truth. Jesus says that a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, but an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. We are going to answer to God. We think about every idle word. We think about our language. We think about curse words or something like that. But we're going to answer to God not only for the foul language that we might use, but for those lies that we might tell. Where is that verse? There's a verse that says, I've heard it so many times, it's in here. It's always right to do right. I think that's 3 Jenkins chapter 4 and verse 2. But it's somewhere in the middle here. I can't find it right off. But the Bible does say, the last verse of the book of Hosea, chapter 14, verse, what's the last verse? Verse 9. The ways of the Lord are right. There's your always right to do right. The ways of the Lord are right. And if the ways of the Lord are right, and I'm supposed to walk in the ways of the Lord, then it's always right to do right. So here I am, a Christian, and I live in a world that's given itself over to lying, and somebody asks me, what's the big deal? How long ago was this? 25 years ago. Something like that. My dad worked for a marina up off of PGA Boulevard. And his boss came to him and they were working on a sale to a customer. And the boss asked him to inflate the cost of a particular, I don't know if it was labor or part or whatever it was, but to inflate a price that the customer had been told a certain price, but the boss said he's not going to notice. Just make it to be this. But wait, we've already told the customer that this is what it was going to cost. Well, we've got to make more money on this because the company's about ready to go down. What are you supposed to do? Your boss comes to you and you say, no. This is what we said. We need to be held by our word. Well, it doesn't matter. We've got to save the company. Well, let's see. Save the company or save my job or save my soul. Which is it going to be? Oh, it's not that big of a deal. It's done all the time. How can we respond? Why does it matter? Why is lying so wrong? Let me give you a couple things real quick. We're going to go get cookies in about 5 minutes, so stay with me, all right? All right, imagine those cookies going in your mouth right now. Okay. Why is lying so wrong? It is contrary to the very nature of my God. Can God lie? Is it that God chooses not to lie? Is it that He's made a choice? I'm not going to lie. No. It is against, it's just contrary to His nature. It's not that He can't do it, it's impossible. It's just not going to happen. It is against, so if lying is contrary to God's nature, would it be conducive to somebody else's nature? It's contrary to God's nature. Would it fit into somebody else's nature that you could think of? Is there somebody who's described in John chapter 8 and verse 44 as the father of all lies? Let's see. Why don't I want to lie? Because I want to choose who my father is. And my father is either the one who he cannot lie, it's against his very nature, or my father can be the one who's the father of lies. And those are the only two options. Who is my father? Who is it that I am going to serve? Why is lying such a big deal? We talked about this from the passage in Matthew. It reveals the heart. What is it that proceeds out of the heart? Mark chapter 7, Matthew chapter 15 lists several things. One of the things that Mark lists in his account that Jesus includes on that list is deceits. Here are the things that proceed from a man, proceed from his heart. Adulteries, fornications, deceits. How do they come out of the man? They proceed from his heart. You can know a lot about a person if they choose to tell you the truth or not. You can tell a lot about the heart of a person if they're comfortable lying to you or not. Or if they are more inclined to make sure that they tell the truth around you, might tell something about their heart, might tell something about your heart. Why is lying such a big deal? It defiles the whole body of the person who lies. Get your Bibles and turn to the very last page that you've got. Joe was here already, but I want you to see it's not just in one verse. Why is lying such a big deal? It's going to send you to hell. Revelation 21, verse 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and most of the liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. That's the way we live. We think, you know, the worst of the liars, those really bad ones, those are going to be... No. Why doesn't God put the word all in front of any of these other categories in Revelation 21, verse 8? Well, He does. It's implied, isn't it? How many of the cowardly, how many of the murderers, how many of the sexually immoral are going to go to hell? Well, all of them. So the word all is implied already, but He sticks the word all before the word liars. I think He did that to get our attention. They'll all have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Now look at verse 27. But there shall by no means enter it into heaven anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie. Nothing's going to enter into heaven that causes a lie. 22 verse 15, outside, he was talking about verse 14, those who do the commandments have the right to the tree of life, but outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Three times on the last page of your Bible, God says liars are going to hell and they're not going to heaven. Why is lying such a big deal? That's enough, isn't it? I mean, just point people to the last page of their Bible and say, that's enough for me. If it's going to cost me my soul, then by all means, I need to speak the truth with my neighbor, with my brethren. We don't have time to get through these, but I wanted to give some kind of a practical application here. How can I become more truthful? How can I improve my integrity? Here's some, and I think we could double this list easy if I asked you to help me add to it. How can I learn to tell the truth? Probably one thing I probably should have put up here was to learn to keep my mouth shut to begin with. The more you open your mouth, the more inclined you are to say something you shouldn't, whether that be a lie or not. But you know, I should have put it up there, but lying doesn't happen just with the mouth. Lying happens with the fingers on the keyboard. Whether it be typing up that resume or whether it be that internet profile that you have on some social website that, you know, says you're 6'4" and 225 pounds and bench press 430 pounds and, you know, whatever that profile looks like, you've made it look pretty good. Wearing a dress, right, Jimmy? But, you know, even then, that's not a big deal, is it? I mean, if I make up that, you know, I'm such and such a height or weight or, you know, I have this hair color or that, or I mean, that's not a big deal here's another word we use. If I fudge it a little bit, that's not so bad, right? I mean, it's close. Does God want us to get close to the truth or does He want us to stand on it? By the truth. Don't you dare sell it. That's what Proverbs 23:23 says. And as Christians, that needs to be us. Somebody said that 9% on those first statistics were the Christians who were telling the truth. That needs to be us. The worst thing we can do is as a Christian to be known for our dishonesty, to be known for not being trustworthy in what we say. Can you imagine if Jesus could not have been trusted in what He said? Who would have listened to Him? Who would have cared what He said? We need to be trustworthy. We need to be people of integrity. And even more so when the world around us is going further and further away from it, we need to be stronger, even more, to stand up for truth and righteousness.